When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. And now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
The peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we're here talking about the New Age movement. Now, one of the things that has begun to disturb me about the whole movement is that so often it focuses on trying to get power or get in contact with powers. And this is disturbing on a number of levels. As we've discussed in so many of the shows before, the New Age movement believes that each one of us is God. Everything is God, but especially people are God, and that we have the power of God within us. And as a result, each one of us creates our own reality. We all have the power to create reality and see it the way we want to see it. And because we can do that and we've got this power, then we should use the power to realize our own divinity. So much of what they want to try to get people to do with the various technologies is become aware of their godliness and their godhood, actually. And what we as Christians have to keep very clearly in mind, we are not trying to become gods. We are being called to be creatures who are loved by God, loved infinitely by an infinite God, but they were just finite creatures here on this earth, and that is just wonderful, and that's enough. But the New Age instead tries to give us power, and as very individualized people, and Randall Bear, who wrote a book, Out of the Nightmare of the New Age, talks about how self-centered people get to be in the New Age. They focus very much on their own ego and their own needs. And look, I got to do this. I got to do my meditation. I got to have my crystal. I've known students at Loyola who would not leave their room without their crystal. I got to have it because I need it for the power that I need for that day. I have different crystals for different needs and different moods and so on. It gets so self-centered, so self-organized, and so focused on this own little universe that they make for me, myself, and I, that it becomes more and more dangerous, especially because they talk about power. Now, let's take a look at some of the quotations from New Agers about this before we look at some of the specific ways to try to get this power. One of the things that I saw quoted in a New Age book is from Reverend Ike, who had a television show in which he promised people that they could get anything they wanted. And Reverend Ike says, "You can't lose with the stuff I use." Now, he's trying to say that you can have all kind of power to get money and wealth and everything else you need. You send him some money, then you can get it too. Well, some of the New Agers, at least one in particular who quoted him in their book, you know, picked up on that and said, "It's true, and we can help you get power." That they talk about this person who is the most successful person they know in the consciousness movement, and that they are able to offer the New Age the fastest, most streamlined technique to mastery of the physical universe. You see the goal? Trying to get mastery of the physical universe. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with people who want to have mastery over the physical universe. What are they going to master it to do? Especially in light of the fact that we've looked at New Age morals and ethics, where they don't believe in good and evil. Everything that is just is. Well, when people deny that there is such a thing as good and evil, and when they believe that they are God, And when they believe that they are all powerful to control the universe, then all the people ought to be nervous, because you don't know what they're going to try to do to get their power. Now, one of the things that they also will see is a goal for them, and I'm quoting from Sandra Ray and Leonard Orr in their book on rebirthing, is that you can feel that the highest service is to be totally free, happy, and master of the universe. Now, look at the way this twists around and perverts, I would think, in my opinion, the idea of service that Jesus Christ offers to us. Remember, his apostles had a similar problem. They also wanted power. They said, oh, we're going to hang around with the Messiah, and we're going to be with him. And so James and John, you know, go up to him and say, you know, can we sit at your right and at your left? We want to be right next to you. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, we know what we want. And we want to be right next to you because you're the Messiah. You're the best. You're the top banana. And we're just going to be right next to you. And then we'll have more power too. And Jesus says, okay, you're going to have the baptism that I had, and you're going to enter the suffering that I suffered. But you and the other disciples got really upset. They said, what do you mean? You're going to make them the top banana? He said, well, look, it's not for me to give to them to be top. I understand they're going to suffer with me, because that's what it means to be the Messiah, that I've come to suffer in order that people's sins might be forgiven. And disciples do this. St. Paul says this in Colossians chapter 1, where we have to offer up our sufferings with Christ. We make up for what is still lacking in the sufferings of Christ, according to St. Paul. So, and we do so for the sake of the body of Christ, which is the church. We also see Jesus in the Gospels say to the two disciples and all the disciples after they're arguing about who's first, they say, the one who would be the leader among you must be the one who serves the rest. Not who makes himself the most free and the most happy and the most powerful, but the one who helps the other people the most. We also see Jesus, instead of talking about getting more power, saying that who is the greatest among you? The one who is like a little child. But the New Agers are talking about how we have to be born again and again until we get the power to master the universe. Now, they also say this. This is, again, quoting from Orr and Ray. We don't claim that any cure is permanent, because human beings have the eternal power to recreate any symptoms. Even physical immortality can be revoked. See, they say that we have the power to get rid of all of our symptoms and even our physical immortality. And you can do whatever you want. You control the universe. Now, Orr and Ray had studied under Werner Erhard. They had helped to give EST seminars, Erhard Seminar Training Seminars. And they got this idea, I believe, from Werner Erhard. But a lot of people in the New Age hold it. I remember seeing a videotape of Ramtha, who says, do you not know that you are gods? And that if you are gods, I can cut off your arm, and you can grow it back again, if you wish. Amen, indeed. What are you talking about? Ramtha, chill out. Jay-Z Knight. Get a grip on reality. You can't cut off somebody else's arm so that they can grow it again. No one has ever grown an arm again. And nobody has that divine power. Only God has the divine power. Only God is God. We're fellow creatures, and that's all. We're going to come back in just a moment to take a look at other aspects of the New Age view of power. Just talking about some of the ways New Agers approach this issue of getting power and becoming more powerful. And I mentioned how Ramtha had said that if you would believe that you were gods, that you could, I could cut off your arm and you could grow it right back again, you know, because you have that power. And this is one of the things that a number of the New Age spirits are said to teach people, that you are gods and you have all this power and you can do whatever you want if you just realize it, if you just accept it. Let me give a quote just to counter that and from Scripture and see what happens. I'm looking at the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and beginning with verse 9, we see that the angel then said to me, that is to John, write this down. Happy are they who have been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Now the wedding feast of the Lamb is heaven, where the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, will invite us to his wedding feast. The reason he invites us is because we, who are members of his body, the church, which is also his bride, are the welcome guests. Jesus invites you and me not to have the powers to cut off and grow again arms, but the opportunity to be at a wedding feast for all eternity. And believe me, as someone who comes from a Polish family, we knew how to throw weddings and have a great time. And if we Polish people could figure out how to have a great wedding, Jesus certainly can do a good job too. But anyway, the angel continued, these words are true, they come from God. Now these are the words of the Scriptures that we can have confidence in. But what did John do in response to this? John, in the book of Revelation, fell at his feet to worship him, that is the angel. But he said to me, no, get up. I am merely a fellow servant with you and your brothers who give witness to Jesus. Worship God alone. The prophetic spirit proves itself by witnessing to Jesus. Now this is something that we have to keep in mind. Not to believe in Ramtha at all. That spirit is clearly going against the angel spirit that spoke in the book of Revelation. This angel who was worshipped by John. John just bowed down and wanted to worship him. And any one of us would be tempted to worship an angel if we were able to see them face to face. But the angel says, no, I'm just another servant. I'm merely a fellow servant with you. Because the angels are also creatures, just like we are. And only God, the Creator, is worthy of all worship. And also, he's a fellow servant with all the brothers who give witness to Jesus. Now, this is something that we should really keep as a norm, because this angel in the book of Revelation says that the prophetic spirit proves itself by witnessing to Jesus and saying that he's God. Whereas the false prophet, the pseudo-prophet, gives witness to itself being God. That's the problem with Ramtha and these other spirits. And then it leads to the next step where they want to consider themselves to have all kinds of power. Now, it's not just Ramtha, and it's not, you know, we also see someone like Shirley MacLaine, who says that it had taken me 50 years to reach that state of mind, and I wasn't about to change it, even if such an attitude seemed self-aggrandizing. In other words, she had a mind where she had power, she was in control of her life, and once she got to that stage, it took her 50 years to get there, and she said, I'm not going to change it. Even it seems like I'm self-aggrandizing while I'm trying to take care of my own self. It was real to me. It was working for me. I also felt, and still do, that as long as I keep a positive attitude, it's only the unlimited beginning. You see, for her, the norm of whether something is real and true is if it helps her to do something and to accomplish things. At least this is the way I understand the ramifications of what she's saying. And that's not what the Lord Jesus calls us to. Instead, he calls us to be servants and to help other people. Now, I've come across a few examples in my reading about the New Age movement of people who do try to help out those who are poor. So far, though, I'd say that they help them out in ways that are sort of strange. For instance, there was one man in Brazil who had his own television program where he would channel a spirit and do this for people, and then also give seances or channel the spirits for private people. But he would contribute some of his time to channel spirits for the poor. Well, that's not really helping the poor at all, because such trance channeling is forbidden to us. He's breaking God's commandment by having contact with familiar spirits to begin with. And then to do that for the poor is committing sin for the poor. That's not a good idea. As a matter of fact, that's a rotten idea. We don't go against God's specific prohibitions against things that are forbidden. Now, one of the things that I also would have to say is that in a New Age movement, I don't see them talk a lot about helping the poor. They don't talk a lot about going out and serving those who are in need. In general, my impression is that most of the New Age movement appeals to middle-class people, people with rather bourgeois values, or what we call yuppies. And that they're looking for a way, oftentimes, to deal with the power and needs in their life, or their own created needs, sometimes for prosperity. For instance, again, quoting from Sandra Ray, says, "Another reason work becomes more fun and results in more prosperity is that creative ability is enhanced by rebirthing. That is, her process for gaining this power is called rebirthing, in which you go and into a hot tub and experience that your own birth process. I'll talk about that in just a few moments. But this occurs because your personal connection in infinite being and intelligence is restored through the freeing of the breath. And this connection to infinite intelligence gives you the ability to understand your own patterns and see your truth. But what's the purpose of it? To gain more prosperity." And she has a lot that she wants to say about getting more prosperity. Well, that would appeal to a lot of folks who want to have, you know, their own personal power and wealth increased. And they want to get into these techniques for growing in this personal power. One of the people who I've read is very critical of this is, again, a former New Ager, and that's Randall Bear, who writes Inside the New Age Nightmare. And I highly recommend this book. As someone who had been in the New Age movement, it describes all the different ways he had gotten into it slowly, gradually, using drugs, and then becoming more interested in gaining certain powers, psychic powers, powers through crystals, powers through seances, powers through pyramids. That these kind of searches for powers got him into this whole movement. And it was very seductive. And a lot of people move into it this way. For instance, again, when we talk about Ramtha, how did Ramtha get started? Well, Jay-Z Knight and her family was playing around with with pyramids. They had made some pyramids, and then, in sort of playing around with it, she put one on top of her head. And remember, there was a craze some years ago that of putting razor blades underneath pyramids, and they would sharpen, or things like that, you know, that kind of nonsense that people taught. Well, she put one on her head, and what she did, she saw this huge warrior named Ramtha walking in her kitchen. She had a vision of the spirit. And then this spirit took over and continued to speak through her through the years. And it's become very lucrative. A friend of mine recently mentioned, who's from Tacoma, Washington area, that he sees regular advertisements for Jay-Z Knight's workshops. And in these workshops, Jay-Z Knight will channel Ramtha, the spirit. And it costs $1,000 for a weekend retreat with Ramtha. And, excuse me, it costs $800. I'm sorry, $800 for one of these retreats, according to his report to me from the newspaper. And she'll get 1,000 people to come watch one of these workshops and retreats in which Ramtha will speak to individuals and talk to the crowd as well. That's $800,000 on a weekend that she might make. That's as I would estimate it. It's a lot of money and a lot of power to go around and tell people, you know, through Ramtha speaking in her, that you are gods and you've got this power and you can do all this stuff. This kind of thing for the New Age can only lead us astray. Now, we're going to come back in just a moment and take a look at some of the other techniques that are used and what we as Christians need to hear from Christ about all of this. So please stay with us. Taking a look at the ways in which some of the New Agers talk about power and the need to get power. And so often, the New Age psychotechnologies help people to get a different or an altered state of consciousness, another way of seeing, where they lose some of the sense of the limits of themselves. They have a sense that they're no longer just this person inside a body, but that they are unlimited. And that from that experience, they have a sense that they have all kind of power. And if they don't see the concrete reality, the concrete experience of something change, then they say, well, all I need to do is become a little more enlightened, maybe in my next lifetime, and then I'll be able to have that power. But at least I'm going to seek it now. Now, one of the techniques for trying to gain this power is called rebirthing. And this is a technique that was developed by Sandra Ray and Leonard Orr. They did so in California in the 1970s in the San Francisco area. And just to give a rundown of it, now what is its basic philosophy? First of all, the basic philosophy of it is everyone is divine and has the responsibility to rebirth himself. So that's their first principle. That's typical New Age, isn't it? That they believe that we're all God and that everybody is divine, and therefore you have responsibility to give birth to yourself. Right? Now, what's the consequence that flows from it? A, we are not willing to take responsibility for consequences of anything that happens. So the rebirthers themselves, the people who are teaching this, don't take responsibility for whatever happens to you. But if you are willing to take responsibility, we are willing to assist in any way you feel appropriate. Now that's quoting from their book, Rebirthing. So if you take responsibility for themselves and exonerate them from any legal responsibility, then they will help you to go through this rebirthing process. And what do they mean by that? They say that rebirthing is the merging, the inner and outer breath to experience the fullness of divine energy in the physical body. So you say, well, if you are God, how can you experience that you're God? Well, they say merge the inner and outer breath to experience the fullness of divine energy in the physical body. What do they do concretely? Well, they try to have you go through the experience of what it was like to be born. And they use various breathing techniques that they call rebirthing. What they do is it started off, they have dry rebirthing and wet rebirthing, where you go through the experience of what it's like to come out of your mother's womb. And many of them claim that they can see what happened in their mother's womb. The only problem is they can't, you know, prove these things, and there's no way to submit them to scientific tests to say that they're actually going through it. But a group of them will, you know, get into a hot tub, you know, which, of course, is big out in California, and they'll get in the water and cover their faces and start breathing and feel the breath getting caught up. And as they do so, breathe real heavy, and then they have a release as they go through heavy breathing. Well, what's going on? When people get into heavy breathing, they're obviously getting into an oxygen high, that you can get so much oxygen in your brain that you actually start to feel lightheaded. It's called hyperventilation. And it becomes an oxygen high that sometimes people who do jogging get. And jogging itself can become addictive because of the state of mind that you get from an oxygen high. Or when I go swimming, I like to swim a lot. You get an oxygen high. Now, I don't know that it's that addictive. I don't swim enough. But if you swim so much, or if you do so much jogging and so on, you can become semi-addicted, and the addiction is even sometimes too strong, to this oxygen high. And this kind of altered state of consciousness through oxygen and through breathing goes on in this practice called rebirthing. And once you get that, then you can get rid of negative thoughts. Here again, quoting them about negative thoughts. A negative thought stored in your body automatically resists the aliveness of infinite being. But if you get rid of the negative thoughts, what would follow from it is that you can feel your infinite being. And so they give all sorts of what they call affirmations, that these are statements that they have you repeat again and again and again until you believe it. So that you know, again, this would be interpreting, but it'd be sort of like brainwashing you, just giving you a whole new belief system, giving you a whole new thing to believe about yourself and to counteract all the negative stuff you believe about yourself and that limits you from experiencing your divinity. That's what they want you to do in the rebirthing process. However, you know, this whole goal that New Agers have towards gaining power, as I said before, has a lot of problems fraught with it. Jesus doesn't call us to just get power. You know, that instead we can look to the gospel and see now that Jesus himself is to be our strength and that we should turn to him. Now, there's a strength that he wants us to have, but it's a strength that might be the kind of strength to be led to crucifixion. You know, Christ himself was led to crucifixion, and he calls us to pick up our cross every day and follow him. And that the strength that he gives will lead us to that. Also, let's take a look at Philippians chapter 2. We see St. Paul saying to a community that he obviously has strong affection for and loves very much. St. Paul says to them, "Fulfill my joy, so that you may think the same thing, having the same love, together in soul, thinking one thing." Now, first of all, just stop with that. How St. Paul doesn't want us to all have our own individual solipsistic power. And that Scripture is not calling us to create my own little world. But rather, as we talked about with authentic Christian spirituality, it's communitarian in nature. And we are to think the same things and have the same thoughts about God. "Nothing by way of rivalry or by way of vainglory, but in humility, considering one another as surpassing yourselves." That we don't try to gain power for my own ego, to aggrandize my ego trip and to make me bigger. And again, a lot of New Agers really don't want to do that. They would say that they want not just to make their egos bigger, but my impression is that a lot of their techniques, and ones we're going to look at in coming episodes, really do just that. And it's not just my impression, it's the impression of a number of people, like Randall Baer, a former New Ager himself. "Don't look at your own things, but also at the things of others." That is, look at the concerns of other people as well as your own concerns. Try to seek to help them. What becomes the norm for judgment? Seeking the things of other people. That is, trying to help them in their concerns. So Jesus says, "When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was sick and in prison, you visited me." Say, when did we ever see that with you, Lord? "When you did it to the least of my brothers, you did it to me." That the Lord doesn't want us to seek power or self-aggrandizement, but love and charity and concern for our brothers and sisters. Seek that and be ready for the Lord Jesus in that way. God bless you.